Hello and welcome to this RCGP podcast about the NHS referral pathway for military veterans with physical health problems. I'm Dr. Emily Brooks, a GP and veteran of both the Army and the Royal Air Force, and a current RCGP Veterans Clinical Champion. Today we're going to discuss OpRestore and how it can help both veteran patients as well as their primary healthcare teams. Joining me today for our podcast are Beth Lambert, who is the National Service Lead for OpRestore, and Sherhan Hetirachi, better known as H, who's the National Clinical Director for OpRestore. So Beth, H, welcome and thank you for agreeing to speak with me today on this podcast. Perhaps H, if I could start off with asking you a question. Could you tell me about how OpRestore began?
Yes, it started back in 2016 with a veteran who had a service-related healthcare problem. He'd had a leg injury while serving in Afghanistan. Been treated, you know, incredibly well by the military, been retained in service and then left and become a veteran, and had a job driving a bus in the north of England. And then one day, in his own words, his leg just burst open. And that then started a three-year cycle of going in and out of different NHS services, both in primary care and secondary care, while he had this leg wound dressed, and it basically got worse and worse and worse. He lost his job, his mental health deteriorated, his social situation with his wife and his two kids began to deteriorate as well. And he was fortunate to be pulled out of his downward spiral by a military charity who said, look, we can get your leg sorted out. We'll refer you to some super duper private surgeon in London to get you fixed up, because that's the way it goes, isn't it? And luckily, that super duper private surgeon was an ex-military surgeon who said, no, that's not what you need. You need to go and see NHS provision, and you need to go and see the right people who can sort out your leg. And because he'd come to London, he got sent to my team in London. And we saw him, myself and another military consultant, and said, look, you've got dead muscle in your leg. You need an operation to take it away. In fact, it doesn't work. You probably have blown the amputation. But, you know, if we do this, you can get on with your life. And actually, he was just like, you know, thank you. For 3 years, there's been no end in sight for this journey. And now you give me a hard stop of what I can do to get sorted. So we operated on him, actually did okay. Went back to his job, got back into, you know, his mental health improved as his physical health improved, regained the relationship with his family, and, you know, is still doing really well. So that made us kind of think, look, this is crazy. There are people who have military service-related injuries bouncing around in primary care and secondary health care, and the solution to them is really simple. If we can connect them to the people, often who've worn uniform, but not always, who understand their problems, understand that military context, we can really make the whole system more efficient and make their care much better. And we know throughout primary care and secondary care in the NHS, there are lots of people with either military experience or military service or a military focus. As a really simple concept, just saying, okay, look, can we connect that kind of virtual network of clinicians with this group of patients who may need their help? So from that kind of very baseline concept, a veterans trauma network was born. The reason we called it that was because it was related to a major trauma network. That was how we were kind of getting it through NHS England. And so we set up a system of 12 different centres, mainly in major trauma centres, mainly with military serving or ex-military or reservist clinicians. And we discussed it with military GPs and civilian GPs, what a referral pathway could look like. And basically, we just kind of went for it. We had some very top-level cover from the Surgeon General who said, yep, you could do this. We spoke to Bruce Keogh, who was the medical director of NHS at the time, said, yep, this looks great. I can't see a problem. Just do it. And so we just got on with it. And it's kind of grown from 2016 into a, you know, bit of a good idea with a sketched out path from the back of a fag pack to a fully blown, funded, coherent, holistic service, which is OpRestore, that is now today the Veterans Physical Health and Wellbeing Service.
Thanks, H. Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it, how that patient's being bounced around the system and really not getting the right care at the right time, and how that's really, you know, impacted on all aspects of his life. Beth, maybe I could ask you, so you were asked, I think, at the end of 2020 to come in and review what was then the Veteran Trauma Network referral pathway. What did you find, and then how did the VTN, or now OpRestore, develop further?
So NHS England wanted to explore the work that VTN had been doing to look at how that could develop into something further. So first port of call was to have a chat with the consultants that are involved with the VTN, talk to H, talk to colleagues, and understand absolutely how it was working, the benefits to the veteran, the benefits into the NHS system as well. And what was very clear from those conversations and also linking in with the military charities that had been part of the VTN at its inception, so charities like BLESMA, who support veterans with limb issues, Star for Soldiers, Blind Veterans UK, looking at what was wanted from the veterans that were accessing the service. And what became apparent was that there was a little bit of an unmet need around things outside of pure healthcare. So actually how that veteran could be supported with that wider provision around well-being, around access to welfare support, to pick the veteran up and give them that level of support. So we started looking at how we could develop that into the pathway, working really closely with Defence Medical Welfare Services, who are a military charity that have been doing welfare for the last 80 years, and looking at how we could put a welfare holistic package in place for each veteran in conjunction with that clinical package and that clinical pathway of somebody accessing secondary care.
Thanks, Beth. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because in the military, there's really good welfare provision. So veterans will be used to having both the medical and welfare sort of system and service working quite closely together. So I could see why that'd be really helpful for veterans. So H, talk me through then, which veterans can be referred and how do they go about getting referred?
In terms of, you know, being in a veteran-specific pathway, as you know from the Armed Covenant and the NHS Constitution, we're looking at service-related healthcare issues. So if it's happened out of time of service, then, you know, they go to standard NHS provision. So we're looking for veterans with any kind of healthcare issue related to a time of service. Absolutely doesn't need to be combat-related, can be related to sports injuries, you know, being knocked off your motorbike, going back to base, which seems to be a very common mechanism for some of our patients. But also, we've also taken on cases where there's been clear evidence of degenerative disease that started at time of service. So, you know, MSK, musculoskeletal issues, are the biggest percentage burden of people leaving the military. And they're also the biggest burden for physical health issues that we face as well. So, you know, there's quite a wide variety of causes, but so long as they're service related, that's fine. And we insist on a GP referral because that's how all secondary healthcare pathways start in the NHS. We thought there had to be a quality of access with non-veteran patients. But having said that, we are trying to lighten the burden on our GP colleagues, because we know these can be really complex patients. So we're trying to make it as smooth and streamlined as possible. So we just need an electronic referral. We do have a referral form, and I say that with some trepidation, because I know how many forms my friends in general practice have to deal with. But with our two GP colleagues who are on our programme board, we're trying to make that as self-populating and easy as possible. But you can imagine there's a baseline limit of how much information we must get transferred over to have a meaningful conversation with a veteran about progressing wrong with care. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible for GP to refer in. And the concept is that, you know, we know these are complex patients, and we know that a general practitioner in a busy clinic hasn't got the time or access to the resources to unpack some of that complexity. What we're saying is, give us some bare basic information. We, with Defence Medical Welfare Service, who then allocate a veteran support worker, can then help unpack that veteran, unpack their needs of them and their families, which are often, you know, people who also need a lot of support. We then take them to a multidisciplinary team meeting where we have members of the physical healthcare team, but we also link up Op Courage, the veterans' mental health and well-being service, so their mental health issues are addressed. Because, you know, about 80% of veterans presenting with physical health problems to our service have mental health issues as well. Some of those are known, but some are unknown. And we also have a range of military charities who can really deliver some of the social prescribing issues that a lot of these veterans and their families present with. So it is a genuinely true holistic setup. And I think what we look at is, you know, these patients are often quite complicated. And the reason they bounce around the system is because none of us have a total solution for them. You know, I'm a surgeon. I might have a 10% solution for their problem, but the other 90% doesn't get solved. So a bit like the patient I mentioned with his leg, he still bounces around because he's not being solved. But if we've got 10 colleagues who have 10% solutions, then, you know, they've got a total 100% solution. So we find that kind of collaboration really helps break down that complexity. So it means that at the end of our MDT, we do have almost like a prescription of what needs to be done for that veteran, all the different dimensions of care and social care. And then we just step through that. They're supported through all those different elements by the veteran support worker. And then we will catch them up and make sure they are progressing along that pathway and make sure, you know, if anything else develops, we pick that up as well.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, ultimately that's, you know, hopefully going to also save the GP and primary care team time as well, because if Op Restore will look at all those different aspects of the care and make sure each of those bits of 10% are there, yeah, then it hopefully will save time with the patient having to then go back to the GP repeatedly with things.
And when we set up, that was kind of, you know, we said to the GP contacts who were on it, and they're all mainly ex-military GPs. We said to them, what do you want out of the service? Because we don't want to add another layer of complexity to your lives. And they said, what we want is something that we can basically fire off this referral into a service and know that all of those issues are being picked up and sorted out, which is kind of what we're trying to develop.
So where would a GP get that form? Where do they send it to?
So currently the referral form is available by contacting us on email. We're working with colleagues to get a web presence so that it can be accessible from there. But equally, we're working with colleagues within primary care and within NHS England to look at how we can get the form up on GP systems so that it can be populated from summary care record. Because actually, that way we can ensure that the information that we're getting is typed, it's exactly as it's shown on the summary care record, then we can then enable it to be linked to the other pieces of information that we need from the GP. So when we ask for the referrals to come in, we ask for a copy of the referral form that's been completed by somebody at the GP practice. So GP, nurse practitioner, anybody else that's clinically trained at the practice, as well as a copy of the summary care record and any relevant clinical information regarding that service-related health need. So be it the last consultant letter, a copy of any scans, a copy of any x-rays, any outcomes from physio referrals, pain clinics. So it gives us a really good picture of what's happened to that veteran in the last sort of 3 to 5 years with that clinical condition. Our team then, we've got clinicians in the team who will then review that, go back to the GP and ask if there's any bits that are a bit unclear or anything that needs clarifying, and pull together that clinical pathway, which is then signed off as H described at that MDT. So our MDT has got a consultant that chairs it. So it's a consultant that's got a military understanding, as well as our charity colleagues, and as well as Op Restore and Defence Medical Welfare Services, who are there as the voice of the veteran. So we, when they link in with the veteran, we always ask them to find out what the veteran wants as their goal out of the referral into Op Restore. So we can make sure that that's very much prevalent and an understanding of what issues or challenges the veteran had before the flare-up or before this incident, so that we can understand where we're trying to get the veteran back to.
Okay, yeah. In primary care, we're always very much trying to identify what someone's ideas, concerns and expectations are from their appointment. So just talk me through, so I'm a GP, I see someone, they're military, they've got a physical health problem, which I think is in some way related to their military service or started during their military service. You said there was an email, so where would the GP, where would I find that email address and access that form then to do my referral?
So we're live on the NHS England website. So there's a whole section on there. And if you put Op Restore into the NHS England website, we come up. But our email address is imperial.oprestore@nhs.net. And that's a shared mailbox that we monitor constantly. So we can pick up any inquiries regarding referrals. Also happy to pick up any advice and guidance, anything that GPs or primary care are a bit unsure of, more than happy to signpost and provide that input to colleagues as well.
Well, that's really useful to know, actually. Certainly the advice and guidance, we're, you know, in general practice very familiar with using that. And if a GP is not quite sure whether it's the right route to go for the patient, then that would be really helpful.
And I was going to say, and sometimes we get referrals in that actually then result, as we work our way through, they're actually not quite service related. So there may be issues that have popped up for the veteran since they've left service and don't have that link back. So we're more than happy to provide a link back into primary care for linking into different military charities or other statutory services as a bit of a signpost for them.
Okay, that's useful to know. And is the form fairly self-explanatory and will guide the GP as to what information you need? I know you said they reviewed and you'll come back and ask for more information.
Yep. So what we ask for is basic patient demographics, what the service-related health need is, a little bit of history around what's happened to that veteran with that health need, whether there's any mental health input that's currently being provided to the veteran, and just a consent to say that the GP's happy to put the referral in and the veteran's aware of the referral. So anything else we can generally tend to pick up from the consultant letters. If we get referrals in where we don't have that information, so maybe a veteran that's relatively recently left the services or is still in transition, we will be able to provide some advice back to the GP to get those medical records from the MOD so that we can make sure that we've got all that information to pull together a clinical plan going forward.
And does it, sorry, I may have missed this, but in terms of the referral, does it have to be the GP or could an advanced nurse practitioner do the referral?
Yeah, happy for it to be an advanced nurse practitioner. We've got a couple where we've got advanced practitioners who are paramedics. So as long as it's coming from the GP practice, then happy to take that as the clinical referral in.
Okay, thank you. So I'm the GP, I've seen a patient. I think this is going to be a really helpful referral pathway. I go on to NHS England, look for Op Restore, and I get your email address, I get the form, I fill it in, I send it off, and then talk me through what then happens so I can kind of explain to my patient what to expect next.
So we'll acknowledge back to the GP that we've received the referral and we give each veteran a different code. So we've got a code to be able to identify them within the system. We try to get every referral in through to our MDT within about 6 weeks, which gives us enough time to be able to make sure that we've got the clinical information that we need, clarify anything that we may not be sure of, but also it gives the time for the veteran support worker through DMWS to make contact with that veteran, have a chat, find out what's happening slightly outside of the clinical space as well. So it enables them to be able to put a level of welfare holistic support in place. And then we take all of that information to the MDT and provide that clinical decision back to the GP. So where we're able to, we'll initiate any onward referrals. So there's some services we can do that. Other services like an MSK pathway, we're not able to do that because we don't have access to those systems. So we would signpost the GP back to suggest that referral. So the GP will always get the outcome of the MDT, whether we've referred somebody on or whether it's a task back to the GP. And then the GP will then update the veteran as to what's happened with that.
And how long could I expect to wait to hear back as the GP from your MDT meeting?
We aim to get an outcome back to the practice within a week. So sometimes it's us trying to make sure that we've landed the veteran with a consultant or in a pathway before we notify the GP, but we aim for a week from each MDT.
Okay, so pretty quick then. We've already sort of touched on this a little bit, but probably H, because I've come back to you again. You sort of gave the example of that veteran at the beginning, which triggered this whole idea of this specific referral pathway. Is the medicine different? Is it always about the medicine being different?
That's a really, really good point, Emily, because no, it's not often. And I think it's really important to state what this isn't. So this is not a priority treatment pathway. You know, we know that priority treatment does not exist for veterans in the NHS. And we say the only prioritization we make any of our patients on clinical grounds. And what we're saying is we're not treating these patients in a different pathway because they are special. We're treating them because their health and social care needs are different to the normal population. And in the same way as you would treat any particular cohort of patients had a different cluster of physical health care and other needs, you might want to create a bespoke service that met those needs more effectively than normal NHS provision. And a reflection of that is if you look at our patients who get referred in, about 45% of them will stay in their existing NHS physical health pathway. So, you know, they've been referred in by a GP who says, look, they've got this. I've referred them on to this clinician, but it's a service-related issue. Do you think you need to help? And the answer is, brilliant. You've referred them in totally appropriately or using your clinical judgment. We don't need to change anything. You know, that's brilliant. But what we can do with the MDT approach is wrap around all the other pieces of holistic care. So, you know, the real gold dust in this is the charitable provision we've managed to cohere into a statutory NHS pathway. So we can in someone to make sure, you know, if they've got mental health issues, those being dealt with, you know, a lot of our patients are very anxious for going to hospital and, you know, we can help them with that. they may not turn up to appointments because they're more worried about, you know, what's going on in their family or in with their rent or, you know, other issues. And again, by working with the military charities, a lot of these social determinants of health can be addressed. So, you know, I think it's a really good point that actually sometimes the medicine is a medicine and the NHS provision is fine. But occasionally the medicine needs a bit of a tweak or go to a particular pathway as described by initial case, where a little bit more specialist knowledge on behalf of the secondary care practitioner is required. And so that's when, you know, about, say about 55% of our patients go into a veteran specific pathway. And it is clustered often around certain MSK things. Sometimes it's because, you know, combat related injury may have particular sequelae that are best dealt with by someone who's experienced those kind of injuries. And often it's due to pain. And we know, you know, sometimes there is challenges within NHS pain pathways, and we have access to some charitable pathways, which are augmenting NHS pathways. But also there's the kind of contextual issue of, you know, pain and, you know, how pain was generated and the psychosocial elements of pain and the perception. And so sometimes going into an alternate non-NHS pain pathway, for example, is appropriate. So what we're trying to do is in line with the NHS Constitution and Forced Covenant is make sure that these patients are not disadvantaged in access to health. So we're not trying to create an advantage. We're trying to make sure there's no disadvantage. And we're trying to make sure, given their different set of healthcare needs, they're getting the most appropriate care.
Okay. I'm going to ask a slightly leading question here now. How important is trust when it comes to being referred into the system?
Trust is really important, as we know, between any doctor and patient. You know, it is the cornerstone of good clinical practice. And actually, one of the things we did when we set this up is we got a group of veterans together who are new for various different connections and said to them, okay, what is the thing you want that you're not getting? And one of the really important things they said they wanted is to be seen by people who understood them, who they could trust. And it's slightly tribal. You know, you've been in the military, you know how tribal it can be. And sometimes that tribalism is justified, often it's not. But actually, for patients who are coming to a veteran-specific pathway, it's really important for them that the people who they are seeing at least appear to have an understanding of context of their problems. And I think that is the real basis of trust. And it's kind of what they asked for. And so I think in healthcare in general, giving patients what they want is often a really good idea, because often, you know, if we were a patient, we'd want the simplest, most effective, least troublesome pathway to sort out our healthcare problems. And I'm sure most patients want that. So, you know, designing healthcare around what patients want often is a really effective way of delivering health. And so they said, this is what we want. And we agreed that it was the right thing to be doing. So there is also the other problem. The converse of that is, you know, the NHS was not trusted by veterans, and a lot of them felt it was, you know, not delivering what they expected because, as you described, their time in service, they were really, you know, looked after incredibly well, to the extent that leaving service, there's no way we can match some of the support they had because it's just not like us outside the closed community of the military. So trying to get that across as well, that, yeah, things are different in City Street outside the military, doesn't mean necessarily they're worse. You know, the people who you're seeing in the NHS looking after you as a veteran will often be the people who kept you alive when you're in ops in Afghanistan and Iraq. So, you know, giving them that kind of narrative, making sure they understand there is a continuity of care from the NHS, from their time served into, you know, becoming a veteran and no longer serving, is really important, because they trusted us, you know, when we were doctors in uniform. And the point is to say to them, well, actually, you've got to keep trusting us because it's still the same people. It might be a different system, but, you know, we don't feel indifferent about how we value you. So that's really important for them to understand.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting that, you know, part of the point of having the veteran accreditation program in primary care is to really say to the veteran, look, we understand and we're committed to caring for you as a veteran, and hopefully giving them that sort of trust and reassurance. Beth, I'm going to ask you about, in terms of outcomes. So H has described some really good case examples. What else do we know about outcomes of OP Restore?
So we've had some really great feedback through user engagement through Defence Medical Welfare Services, and echoing the points that you and H have just made, that reassurance that they're being contacted by somebody that's got an understanding, somebody they can pick the phone up and have a bit of banter, a bit of military banter, and actually having the confidence that they can walk in and see a consultant that totally gets how they've had that injury, what the circumstances were, how they may have been patched up, what would have happened, how that would have transpired. We're actually working closely through some research funding to do an evaluation of Opera Store and the data that we've got. So we'll be absolutely looking forward at how we can put some different KPIs and some different metrics in place to be able to get some real good hard facts coming out from that side.
Thanks, Beth. H, have you got anything else to add?
Yeah, I'd say to that, I mean, I think Beth's absolutely right. I mean, it's really important that whatever clinical pathway we describe or design, it delivers clinical effect for that patient, because otherwise, you know, it's a waste of public money. So we're really, you know, clear that we have to be able to show improvement in patient outcomes through this. And there'll be second order benefits in terms of, you know, efficiency of the system. So we're beginning to start collecting EQ5D, 5L, so, you know, patient reported outcome measures, to see if we can see a shift in that. As Beth says, we've got two evaluations running independent of us with different academic organisations to work out, you know, using initially qualitative but also some quantitative methods to say whether or not there is benefit to this. I mean, we know anecdotally there is, but actually we need to be able to translate that into some hardcore data to prove effect. Because otherwise, you know, it's all nice and fluffy and great, but it's not making the lives of our patients better, not making the lives of our general practitioners better and our section care practitioners better, then, you know, it's not worth the money we're spending on it. But I'm saying that knowing I'm pretty sure it will show benefit in all of those areas.
Yes, yeah. No, I mean, it definitely sounds that way. But as you say, it's nice to have that sort of analysis and documentation of that. What's the GP's role in this process, in this referral pathway?
One of the things we do when we design this pathway is very much place GPs at the heart of it, because, you know, we know from our veterans the first person to call is their GP, and often, you know, the first person they trust is their GP. And we know that when they fall down, often the first person they'll go to is their GP. So we've tried to make the GP absolutely at the centre of this. So we really welcome feedback from colleagues in primary care. If this isn't working, or if it is working, you know, we are building the system now, we're designing it, developing it, adapting it. So, you know, we'd love to hear feedback.
So that probably draws us to a close. Thank you to Beth and H for coming and speaking with me today on the podcast. It's probably useful for listeners maybe if I just summarise some of the key points from listening to both of you today. So Opera Restore is a specific referral pathway for veterans with physical needs relating to their time in service. It aims to break down barriers for veterans in accessing healthcare, with that trust element being so important. The referral pathway provides an oversight to the organisation and coordination of the veterans' care by teams that understand veterans' specific needs. And it also provides that key element of a wrapper of care, which addresses the holistic needs of veterans and their families, and will provide links and signposting to appropriate charities where needed, as well as to Op Courage for mental health support. So Beth, H, thank you again for your time and coming and speaking with us today and letting us know all about Op Restore. Becoming a veteran-friendly accredited practice will give you all the information on referral pathways to services which support veterans. If you're not accredited yet, you can do so via a simple and easy process online at www.rcgp.org.uk/veterans.